And welcome to the Richard Rants Show. This is Richard Rants, and we are starting the weekly show about what is going on in our world politically. A freewheeling commentary about what is happening in our world politically, socially, economically. These things are all linked, and it is my pleasure to connect with all of you out there in social media and podcast land. I am just a humble commentator who may not be as qualified as many experts out there, but I try to follow the experts that I can, look at several sources, trusted sources, parse and judge the quality of the information that I am analyzing. And then I come to you, my friends, and those who may come across this podcast through various means to talk about it. What's going on? One of the most important things that has happened is that a massive COVID and economic relief bill has been passed by the new American administration. It got through for a $1.9 trillion. When did trillions start to be part of the conversation? $1 trillion a while ago, I know. A billion ain't what it used to be. $1.9 trillion economic stimulus plan, which is actually extremely exciting. This is the biggest help that the government has provided the American people, perhaps since FDR's New Deal. It might be as big a deal as that. Unlike the previous administration's relief plan, which went largely to big business, and as was the practice of the previous, calling an administration is actually perhaps generous. It was a kleptocratic bin of corruption, actually. I've talked about that, but yes, they had a plan that went through and it did include stimulus checks and we were all happy to get the checks, but it also included massive amounts of money for big businesses and a very opaque process for distribution, which left it wide open for the corruption that was practiced by the Trump administration. So in contrast to that, what we have now is an economic stimulus plan that actually targets people who need it. It was approved by the Senate on a strict partisan party line vote. 50-50, with the tie broken by Vice President Kamala Harris, which is why we desperately need to do away with the filibuster This bill had to be passed through the process of budget reconciliation, which only requires a simple majority vote, because otherwise the Republicans would filibuster, and it takes 60 votes to overcome a filibuster, and the Republicans will consistently vote against helping the American public. It's just how they are. But it was approved. It has significant benefits for low-income people. Let's start with $1,400 stimulus checks. We could all use those. Those will be coming. Now, as a nod to what are called moderate Democrats and the incredibly recalcitrant, incredibly stubborn Republicans, they did have to reduce the eligibility so that only individuals making less than $75,000 would get these stimulus checks, which is slightly less, perhaps, of a portion of the public than received the previous stimulus checks from the Trump administration, and that's unfortunate. Moderate in the Senate means the center of the Senate, and the Senate is actually far to the right of the American public. So what's called a moderate in the Senate is actually to the right of what the public wants. But hey, we'll take $1,400. Thank you. There will be a $300 per week boost to unemployment benefits. That's good. Thank you for that. The child tax credit will amount to a kind of guaranteed income for people with children, for families with children. That's great. Let's help to support families with children. I personally don't want to have children, but for those who do have them, they need to be cared for. There's going to be money going to local, and by the way, other wealthy nations in the world support people with children. It's a humanitarian thing to do. And it will benefit your society, because those children are the people who are going to grow up to run your nation. And if they are scarred by poverty in their childhood, that has effects for their entire lives. So help the kids. There's going to be massive money going to local budgets to help to fight the vaccine, help local governments and schools. Now, unfortunately, the party of the ultra-right, the Republicans, tend to fail to help social programs and to help those in need, because their philosophy is more in tune with exploiting those people and keeping them as desperate as possible so that they are ripe for exploitation by wealthy individuals and corporations and businesses. That's their credo, is help the rich at the expense of the poor. So when you give money to Republican municipalities, they are likely to fail to help anybody, which is unfortunate. But in their own philosophy of local control, that would be the right thing to do by the federal government, to give money to the local municipalities to then decide how to spend it. And when the municipality actually cares about its citizens, it's not a bad idea because they're close to the ground and they can see very specifically where the money needs to go. And if the electorate of the municipality has elected a responsible group of legislators from the school board, the dog catcher on up to their house and senate in the states, to the mayor's offices and boards of supervisors. If the electorate elected people who actually care about them, read not Republicans, then those people will be in a good position to allocate the money responsibly, and they're going to get that money from the federal government. Now, to those electors who elected Republicans, I'm sorry. Elect someone better next time, please, to help yourselves. In the area of health insurance, if anyone has ever left a job and had to deal with what they call COBRA, which is ostensibly the opportunity to extend your health coverage, and that's a whole other question because we do need Medicare for all. Your health coverage should not be dependent on your employment. The US is the only rich country that does that. Why? Because it's capitalism on steroids. It's ultra-capitalism here. And when you go too far in the direction of capitalism, you hurt people. Because capitalism is all about making money, and it's not about helping people, and it's making money at the expense of people. And if you just let the capitalists run wild, then people will get hurt because they don't give a damn. And that's what happens in our healthcare system. And when you lose your job, you lose your health insurance in America. But they give you this ostensible opportunity to extend your health coverage called COBRA. But it costs an incredible amount of money because all of a sudden, the portion of the health insurance that your former employer paid is no longer there. And now the cost of the insurance is the cost of the insurance companies who are profit-based, profit-oriented, bottom-line focused, profit-maximizing companies who don't care about the health of the people who have the insurance. This system is so much the opposite of humanitarian. You can't have a profit-grubbing company in charge of people's health. Because when they make the decisions, it's going to be for profit, not for the benefit of the people with the insurance. And we see it over and over again. People with conditions that cost money get dropped from the insurance plan just when they need it the most. And if you have a pre-existing condition, which means that you need help, the help is not forthcoming. This is what happens when you let a private, profit-oriented, profit-grubbing company in charge of the health. So you get this opportunity to increase, to extend your COBRA coverage at the time you just lost your job. So that's the time that your income just went way down. maybe to zero if you weren't lucky enough to receive unemployment. And now you're offered a health coverage plan called COBRA, which will cost more than you make. How are you going to pay for that? Well, one of the good things in the stimulus plan is that COBRA payments will be covered for 2 years. So that's been rectified. Thank you, Democrats, for this $1.9 trillion plan. And thank you, electorate, that elected two Democratic senators from Georgia who ran essentially on this plan and who voted for it. Happy about that? Happy about that. $350 billion going to the states. Subsidies for the Affordable Care Act will be increased. Well, it's some help. We need Medicare for all, and we need to keep pushing. That's why the new tagline for my show is Rant and Persist. It was Rant and Resist, but now it's Persist. Persist in pushing this administration to do what needs to get done. So the minimum wage was taken out. So who is this unelected parliamentarian? That's not in the Constitution. The parliamentarian has been fired before. Let's fire this one. It's just not true. The $15 minimum wage would have an enormous impact on the budget. The parliamentarian said it would not. Overrule the parliamentarian. Fire this parliamentarian. The parliamentarian was not elected, and the parliamentarian is wrong. Parliamentarians have been fired in the past. They can be fired again. Get rid of this person. I didn't research who it is. It's a woman. I forgot her name. You can check it out. You can Google it. The parliamentarian. Unelected. All right. I'll Google it right now if you want me to. I'll check it out. The Senate parliamentarian. I'll hit this link right here. Elizabeth McDonough. Who the hell is Elizabeth McDonough? And who elected her? Not us. We didn't elect her. She's unelected, Elizabeth McDonough. Come on, man. Who even put her in office? I'm trying to see who put her in office. Okay, I'm going down here. I mean, she's so unknown. It doesn't even say here who put her in office. How did she get that job? How did she get the job? Come on, tell me. Can anybody tell me how Elizabeth McDonough got the job of parliamentarian? Well, in any case, she was not elected. 2012, she was named to the job under a Democratic majority by the Senate. She worked as a legislative reference assistant in the Senate library and then the editor of the Congressional Record before being hired at the parliamentarian's office. So, I mean, she's not qualified. Here I am saying she's not qualified, but I'm not the only one. She's not the one who can decide whether everyone in the country is going to get a $15 minimum wage. But this isn't dead, and thank you, Bernie Sanders, the chair of the Budget Committee, our beloved Bernie Sanders. Thank you for pushing, and even in this process, once again, Bernie put forth a bill, put forth an amendment for the $15 minimum wage. So this fight isn't over. We're going to persist in pushing for a $15 minimum wage, and we all know that the current minimum wage of $7.25 is a starvation wage. As Bernie said, as beloved Bernie said, it's a starvation wage, and this cannot stand. We'll keep pushing. That's not dead. So there's no hike yet, but we're going to keep pushing for that. But all in all, we're going to see some great things happen thanks to the stimulus plan. So that's great. Meanwhile, one thing that struck me is that over in down south in Brazil, former President Lula da Silva, who is one of the most progressive humanitarian presidents in Brazilian history, has been reinstated as a full citizen because he was framed by cohorts of the current corrupt Brazilian leadership of Jair Bolsonaro, among other things, a COVID denier, corrupt to the core, has his own relatives in positions of power, is linked to murders, has actually said that the dictatorship, the military dictatorship that killed and disappeared thousands in Brazil was a model for him. He was a member of that dictatorship. Yeah, well, Bolsonaro, who is presiding over the country with the second most COVID deaths in the world behind the United States, which was also led by essentially a COVID denier. Well, now he's going to have, once again, a challenger from the left, Lula da Silva, enormously popular in Brazil. The poor and the middle class benefited greatly under the leadership of Lula da Silva during the years that he was president. And he will now be running against the wannabe dictator, proto-Trump style, Jair Bolsonaro. In the next election, he had been arrested by Bolsonaro's cronies under trumped-up charges when he was running against Bolsonaro in the last election, which actually paved the way for him to be elected, for Bolsonaro to be elected. So we're coming for you, buddy. Now, that brings me back to the United States, where we were able to oust the corrupt leader and corrupt criminal Trump and his administration, but not by much. And the Republicans know that they can't win through the popular vote. They lost this election by 7 million votes, a fair number, nationally. They know they can't win by letting people vote. So their strategy is to limit the vote. And especially in those southern states, after the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was gutted by the right-leaning Republican-nominated Supreme Court. After that was gutted, There was the provision in which if a formerly racist Jim Crow Southern state tried to pass voting restrictions, they had to be pre-approved by the Congress before they could be enacted. The Supreme Court gutted that provision at the behest of their Republican masters. And subsequent to that, sure enough, as could be predicted, these Jim Crow states passed restrictive voting laws aimed at restricting the votes, particularly of black and brown people, because that's what they're about. They're about the party of the white minority and the party of white supremacy. It's what they're about. That is their base. And the rich. But the rich are a tiny, tiny minority. So they need a lot of help. And they have found that pandering to that racist, xenophobic, white supremacist base is a way to further their ambitions and further their wealth. So that's who they support. So around the country now, but particularly in those former Southern Jim Crow states, Texas, Alabama, Georgia. Because in Georgia, although now they have two Democratic senators, their state legislation is still Republican. Mississippi, yeah, name those Southern states. The South is not going to rise again, but they are trying to tamp down the rise of a multiracial, multi-ethnic society that we have. It's an amazing country. It is the biggest multiracial, multi-ethnic democracy in the world. Perhaps the only one, to the extent that we have it, yes. It's an amazing experiment. And it's a fight. It's a fight. So we've got the HR1, John Lewis, named after John Lewis, the Voting Rights Act, John Lewis. And I believe we're around the anniversary of when John Lewis led protesters who were met by police violence on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Alabama in 1964, 65, around then. During the very intense period of the civil rights movement, HR1 has got to pass. Because if it doesn't, those Republican legislators throughout the South and in other white majority areas are going to restrict voting because that is how, and they are going to continue to gerrymander voting districts to ensure that they can unfairly win elections. Which is why I say rant and persist. Persist in pushing. Our legislators, our representatives persist in making sure that Republicans do not get elected, and that means elect Democrats, and then push those Democrats to do the right thing because we can't push the Republicans to do the right thing. They will not do it. They will do the wrong thing every time. We can be sure of that. Rant and persist. Peace and love. See you next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Richard Rants Show.